And welcome back to Coast. This hour, we'll take your phone calls with Dr. Jerome Corsi as we talk about the campaign. So Donald Trump, 70-year-old Donald J. Trump, president-elect of the United States, will become the 45th president of this great, great nation. And welcome back, Jerry Corsi with us. Jerry, this was an exciting election night. You know that?
Oh, very exciting, George. I mean, this was, you know, right down to... I mean, here we are at East Coast at 3 a.m., and it's really just decided now. And it went through, you know, till 2 o'clock. It was still two states out and waiting for Pennsylvania or Michigan. Pennsylvania came through for Trump, and that decided the election. But, you know, this is it's a long evening, which started out with the country's expectation that Hillary Clinton would be tonight giving the acceptance, yeah, as it were, the, you know, the congratulatory speech saying that she was president-elect, and here it is, Donald Trump, which, going back 2 years ago, very, very few people would ever have predicted.
And I think she thought she'd get elected, too.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. I think Hillary felt from the beginning that it was almost inevitable that she would be elected. I mean, she said she had the most experience, and she did. And that she, you know, really had run for president and against Barack Obama in 2008, was Secretary of State. I mean, clearly was known internationally. She was the prominent figure at the beginning of the election cycle. Donald Trump was out of nowhere, never held a political position in his life. The first position he'll have held as a politician, elected office, is president. And, you know, I'd have to think hard historically whether that's ever happened before, but it's really a remarkable story that Donald Trump, as a businessman, is now going to be president of the United States.
Sure. So there is a remote possibility he might call into the show tonight. One of his campaign folks has sent me a text, but we shall see. I say I put it in quotes. But
well, that would be great. I mean, I've known Donald Trump for years, and I'm sure he'd be delighted to speak with Coast to Coast audience. I know he's a fan, and Donald Trump is not shy about picking up the phone and talking to the media live. He's done it frequently with Fox.
He sure has. Jerry, let's take some calls here from our incredible listeners who have been with us during this entire campaign and beyond that. A lot of people... of course, you know, our staple is the unusual, the mysteries, the unusual. But they put up with us doing the campaign too, Jerry. So they ought to be applauded for that.
Yeah, Coast to Coast has always done a great job, George. You're to be commended with your coverage of current events and politics. I think you do a great job.
Would Donald Trump be wise, or would he not be, if he brought Hillary into the administration?
I don't think that's in the cards. I think the Clintons now will withdraw into private life. I think Donald Trump will be quite gracious, as he was tonight when, you know, he gave his congratulatory remarks.
He was very gracious.
And I think that's going to mark how he treats the Clintons. I do think that there will be issues that have to be dealt with in the Justice Department, the IRS. I think the Clinton Foundation will have to be dealt with. There may be some issues in the emails that are going to have to be dealt with in terms of how, you know, private servers were used and other issues. And I think there'll be some prosecutions with regard to the Clinton Foundation and maybe even with regards to the emails. But I see no reason why Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton, I'm sure they'll be pardoned, and that Donald Trump will have no enthusiasm for going after either one of them.
What about keeping James Comey as the FBI director?
I think Mr. Comey ought to be preparing a resume. He'll be moving on.
He may be gone.
I suspect he'll be long gone.
Let's go to the phones. Gordon in Lakeland, Florida. Hey, Gordon, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I would not be surprised if Mr. Trump's campaign is not only listening, but remembers all the stuff that I've been emailing them and sending messages, because I'm friends with a lot of powerful Republicans and Democrats. So before I give my open letter to Donald Trump, I want to correct you, Dr. Corsi, There's no way that you can pardon Hillary before the actual indictment.
Oh, no, no. He knows that. He knows
that. Well, okay, I'm well aware of that, certainly.
Now, the popular vote may go to Hillary, and the Electoral College will go to Donald if nothing unusual happens. So we have a divided nation, and I see that Donald Trump, as of all the potential leaders and leaders, he was the best one, but even he may commit the sin of Rehoboam. And I'm very afraid for this. And Rehoboam was the son of King Solomon. When King Solomon died and Rehoboam took over, the people said, look, man, we're being overtaxed. Do you think you could lighten up just a little bit? Now, Donald Trump is trying to lighten the taxes, but there's one thing that he misses, and I looked over his pages. He's done very well, but he missed one glaring error that almost cost him this election. He angered a lot of millennials. Okay, tuition is technically a tax. And what he said about the regulations and all this tax break is good, but it will not bring down tuition unless he stops the subsidies and allows a free market check against predatory lending like bankruptcy. Donald, if you're listening, I've got your back. My advice is good. Don't commit the sin of Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon.
All right, Gordon. Jerry, what do you think we're going to do about things like the space program and things like that under a Trump administration?
I think Trump will certainly want to revitalize programs like the NASA and the space program. It would be in his vision to say, much as John Kennedy said, let's go to the moon, I think Trump will say, let's go to Mars. I think that I could easily imagine him doing.
We need a national something to grasp, don't we?
John Kennedy got very far with, you know, setting a goal, let's go to the moon. It certainly revitalized science in the 60s and pushed us towards goals we didn't think we could accomplish, which, of course, we did accomplish. And I think Trump will also set stretch goals, and I think he's serious about redeveloping much of the inner cities and having a program of renewal for much of the United States in terms of our infrastructure. I think capital investment is something that's going to be very strong on his mind. After all, he is a builder, and he has done an enormous amount for New York City, where, you know, I live in New Jersey, and I'm in New York all the time, and Donald Trump's input on his impression on New York is tremendous, from Trump Tower to any number of buildings and developments I can think that Donald Trump has done for the benefit of New York City.
Well, and we're going to have, Jerry, for the first time in a long time, the ability to have a Congress and a Senate, also Republicans, and I do believe that's the way it's going to end up after these election results tonight. He may be able to get anything he wants passed.
Well, I think within reason, yes. I mean, I think Obamacare is probably over. I think that's going to be redone and restructured, although, you know, President Obama, by pushing the envelope to Obamacare, has raised the consciousness of health care.
Yes, which was important.
Yeah.
It was a great idea, wrong concept.
It may have been flawed in its design and implementation, and that's what needs to be reworked.
I mean, my God, Jerry, if you need a new kidney and you can't afford it, this country should be able to put a kidney in you. You know that?
Well, I think that's one of the issues that's going to remain on the agenda. And I think also, you know, the issue of college tuition and how we handle student debt, I think that's another one of the issues that's going to have to be on the agenda. I don't think that President Trump is going to rush into these without getting a lot of good advice. And issues that were very important in the campaigning are going to have to be reevaluated and rethought through in terms of actual implementation. With a divided nation as president, he's going to have to, you know, moderate some policies and reevaluate the best direction to go in. It'll take some time.
We have now Michael in California. Michael, thanks for calling. You're on the Wildcard Line. Go ahead, Michael.
Mr. Norrie, Mr. Corsi, thank you for taking my call this evening. You know, George, I'm the guy who's born on your dad's birthday.
Oh, that's right. Thank you, Michael. That's right.
Well, besides that, how is it that these Midwestern northern states are not decided before Colorado, Oregon? What is going on with this? How How does this happen? I don't know, so maybe you can answer it for me. Thanks a lot.
And they still haven't called Michigan yet, or Minnesota. They're still out there, and of course it doesn't matter. It's a moot point. Donald has his votes, his 270 plus electoral votes. He's at 288 now, but he's going to go way over that, over 300, I think. But he's right. Why does it take so long?
Well, I think, George, some of these states, for instance, Michigan, you know, is complex. It has a lot of rural areas, and Detroit, of course, is a major city, which is, again, takes some complexity to make sure you get it right. And there's a little bit of theatrics also in wanting to be last and the drama of being the late to report. And going even back to the 60s, I mean, you know, Illinois for Jack Kennedy was deciding, and that came in close to the morning. I mean, some of these Midwestern states have liked doing this, and, you know, the technology is good, but there still comes down a lot of hand counting and a lot of, you know, really making sure the numbers are correct.
I mean, she may end up with 200, if she wins Michigan, she's behind right now, but she could end up with 239 electoral votes. All she needed was a Pennsylvania, Ohio, and she would have won.
No question about it. And I still think that Hillary Clinton is going to be, if not the leader in the popular vote, certainly very close to it. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see her win the popular vote but lose the electoral votes, because I think states like California, which voted so strongly for, it was, you know, 60% for Clinton, 34.4 for Trump, that's a lot of votes. That's going to get added into Clinton's total. This was a very close election, and any one of a number of states, you know, Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, could have tipped the balance. And they came in earlier. I mean, Florida and Ohio came in sooner than I thought they would. But there's no, you know, I don't fault the states for taking time to get it right. I'd rather they take more time and get it right than to have to go through recounts as we went through with Florida in 2000.
Something happened right at the end, Jerry, where, you know, most pollsters were saying, Hillary's got this, she's got this. There was a mood factor, some kind of switch or click in people's heads. I think a lot of people who may have said they're going to vote for Hillary switched and turned on honor and voted for Donald today.
Well, I think that happened. I've been writing about the 1980 election. Maybe 3 months ago, I was saying this is going to be like the 1980 election, in that you had a candidate with Jimmy Carter who was leading in the polls right up until the end. And people were saying, well, we know Jimmy Carter, but, you know, yet you had 444 days of the hostages and Iran and Tehran being held, our embassy hostages, double-digit interest rates, gas lines from the Arab oil embargo. There were a lot of problems. And with Hillary, I think there was a lot of baggage. You know, the problem with running with the experience she has is that she also had a lot of past history that could easily be picked over. And in the final days, I think there was a mood in the country saying, we want change. We want something new. We want a new direction. We don't want more of the same, which is what happened in 1980. And Reagan had the vision, very much like Donald Trump was articulating a new day for America. You know, this is morning in America was one of the, you know, famous sayings from Ronald Reagan. And I think Donald Trump also inspired a vision of America's greatness that I think lifted him in the final days.
Do you think he's the kind of person, assuming he has a successful 4 years, who would want to run again, or might he just say, hey, I did it, I got elected, and now I want to go back and be me again?
Oh, no, he'll run again.
You don't think so?
I have no doubt about it. Donald Trump likes the challenge, he likes the contest, and he's not going to step away from one. Assuming his health is good and any other factors we're not seeing tonight, everything being equal, Donald Trump will run for re-election, I believe.
So the Democrats will need to come up in 4 years with a formidable candidate, which is interesting with elections. They go by so fast. In 2 years, you'll start seeing people position themselves for that, won't you?
Yes, well, I think now within the Democratic Party, you're going to see a shift into a new, different, perhaps younger class of leaders. That this is the retirement of the, you know, the Clinton era leaders in the Democratic Party, and you're going to see a whole group of younger progressives who are going to come forward with new ideas and a new vision. Elizabeth Warren is one I can think of immediately who's going to have attention on her right away. And there are several others. But the Democratic Party is going to go through a shift in terms of its new leadership and the Republican Party as well.
Well, if we have a moment of prosperity, minimal terrorism, or at least we aggressively take care of it when the time comes, and, you know, a better system for America's taxation, which is something everybody's been crying for, he's got a great chance to get reelected, no matter who runs against him.
Well, I agree, but I think, you know, you're going to have challenges. I think the economics, the world economics, the central banks have held up the economy worldwide, especially in Europe and the United States, artificially, with low interest rates and massive amounts of government borrowing. Now, that's going to have to come to roost. And I think with Donald Trump, you're going to see in the next few days a readjustment downward, a dramatic readjustment downward of the stock markets. And I think you're going to see the central banks taking an opportunity. They weren't in favor of Donald Trump, but they're going to say, okay, you're about to be president, so deal with this crashing debt crisis. Because I think a lot of the central banks are going to say, now's the time to not be, you know, having as much government debt and just start at raising interest rates.
Yeah.
As soon as interest rates go up in the United States, you're going to see the stock market adjust 2,000 or 3,000 points.
Oh,
down.
Absolutely. And it could look bad.
It's I think, you know, we're in for another
correction.
2008, 2009 readjustment.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be easy, and Donald Trump's going to have to deal with that right away.
Let's go to Rick in Paris, France. Rick, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning.
Hello there.
Especially to Jerry.
Oh, hello, Rick.
Yeah, long time no talk. Yeah, I ain't in Afghanistan right now. I'm kind of in between home and there here in Paris, France. And I just thought I'd fill you all in a little bit on what they think here in the country of France as far as the elections go. Are we connected good?
Yes, we are. We've only got about 30 seconds, but I might put you on hold again, Rick, until the break. But go ahead.
Okay, sure, no problem. Yeah, the French, they seem more open to talk about it than some of the other countries, but they seem to lean towards Hillary Clinton as far as the one that they thought would have been good, but yet it's only from the news that they get, which turns out to be rather liberal from what I've seen on front pages of their newspaper, where they had pictures of Clinton on the front page, and it sure wasn't anything bad they were saying about her either.
That's true. Rick, stay with us. I want to finish up your chat. Rick calling in, first-time caller from Paris, France. Then we'll get to the rest of your calls in a moment here with Jerome Corsi on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Dr. Jerome Corsi with us. Next hour, John Hogue joins us to talk about prophecy and predictions, of course. He has predicted the last 12 elections, and this one he predicted Hillary Clinton, his streak has stopped. Now, we always give him credit if the person loses the electoral vote but wins the popular vote, as he did with Al Gore during that George Bush election. So if Hillary ends up getting the popular vote, we're going to count this as a plus for John Hogue. But at this point, Donald Trump is ahead in the popular vote and, of course, obviously has won the electoral vote as well. It's amazing prophecy stuff, Jerry, isn't it? Do you ever dabble in that?
Well, George, I've read a bunch of it, and I, you know, it's not my specialty, and it's very interesting, and I enjoy it. Say hello to John Hogue for me. He's quite good. I respect his work, but it's not my specialty. I don't have a crystal ball.
I mean, she could end up winning the popular vote.
It's going to be close.
She's only 700,000 apart, and California still has about 51% of its vote to come in.
Yeah, California is, I think, going to tip it for Clinton because when it splits 60-40, you know, if it's got half to go and it splits 60-40, it's going to be more than enough to get her past the $700,000 number.
She'll make up the difference. Yeah, that'll be interesting. And then John Hogue can say he was right again.
Well, John will say that. As he'll probably have a right to if the count turns out that way.
Well, let's go back to Rick in Paris, France. Rick, so you think most of the Europeans wanted Hillary, huh? Rick?
I think Rick might have dropped off.
Rick, he did at least made his call from Paris, France.
And I've known him for a long time. He is a truck driver, a contractor, works with the United States military, and he's been driving trucks for years.
Uh-huh.
Afghanistan and Iraq. He travels when he's finished a tour, and so he's in Paris. He'll probably come back to the United States for a while, but he's done a great service to the United States and very, very dangerous work.
So he was saying, though, that it seems like most of the people in Europe wanted Hillary as our president. Did you get that?
Oh, yes. I think for sure the European Union, you know, those who are, you know, looking at the vision continuing of the EU, Hillary is a globalist. She had Secretary of State experience. She was known internationally as Secretary of State. I think the Europeans were overwhelmingly in favor of Hillary, and I speak Italian. We traveled in Italy during the course of the election. I was reading some of the popular books in Italy about Trump, and it was a huge surprise to the Europeans that Trump came on the scene and was so prominent and did so well. I think it will be a shock in Europe that Donald Trump is president-elect.
Yeah, many of them. It's morning time now. It's 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. They're waking up, and they're going to hear about this.
I'm getting emails from Europe right now, and people are, you know, either congratulatory or shocked, but most of them are congratulatory, and people are excited about it who know Trump. But the point is, I think Donald Trump's a new figure on the world scene, and it's going to take world leaders a while to figure out what to make of him. I think he's going to be very successful. And I do think Donald Trump will be a uniter rather than a divider.
I think he will learn about handling himself with other people.
Oh, I don't have any doubt about that. I think the campaign has been a huge learning experience and growing experience for Donald Trump. And things he's been criticized for, I believe, will be in his past now, certainly have to be, in terms of, you know, he's now not a celebrity, you know, millionaire, a builder. He's now president of the United States. He's going to have to assume those duties and responsibilities as a mature adult.
I understand he called in and Tom hung up on him because he didn't believe it was him.
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding. He did that with Richard Dreyfuss once on a show we were doing.
Oh,
it was hilarious.
Tom's too astute to do anything like that.
Louisiana went to Donald Trump, 58% of the vote. Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello, Cornelius.
Hey, George and Jerome and Tommy and all the rest of y'all. This is your God, Guns and Gold Man, your Bible Bullets and Knees Man. My man won. There's no J. Trump for president.
Yes, he did. You happy?
Yes, I am, but I've been watching all these other news, just like that guy from France. I was watching C-SPAN, too, and listening to y'all, and they've got the Canadian Broadcasting Company, and those people are talking about a dog like a Trump, saying that Trump's going to bring back all kind of things, which it ain't true. You know, a lot of blacks voted for Trump, and I happen to be an African-American. I voted for Trump. I was a Ben Carson man, and then once Ben Carson went to Trump, I went to Trump, too. So I've been supporting him, and I'm glad Louisiana voted for him. I'm glad the rest of the country voted for him.
Well, good points, Cornelius. By the way, I'm going to have open lines in our fifth hour tonight. We're going an extra hour, so after John Hogue, I'll be around for open lines. Let's go to Linda in Bloomington, Illinois. Welcome to the show. Hi, Linda. Good to have you back.
Hey. I just love this show.
Oh,
you guys
great.
Are just wonderful. Every one of you is. Jerome, I love listening to you, too.
Well, thank you.
I got a couple things here. One, George, you said that you had some people in some high places, so let's get on them to get Donald Trump to fix the grid.
Yes, I do, and that is definitely one of the things on my agenda.
Okay. Now, what's on my agenda that I would like to have fixed, I don't know if I'm correct in this or not, but I think many, many years ago that if you harmed a police officer, like killing one, it was automatic death, if I'm not mistaken.
Depends on the state.
Okay. I think that Donald Trump should make it mandatory all the way across the United States that if you kill a police officer, that you should get a trial, and if you're convicted, you go to jail, and you get one appeal, and it has to be done within 5 years. Otherwise, it's automatic death penalty. I'm sick and tired of all these policemen being murdered. People do not understand. They have families, they have children, you know, and they want to go home just like anybody else. Oh,
that's right. Donald Trump is a huge law enforcement supporter, as
well,
we have
been. Well, I
hope been.
He jumps on that, you know, because I hear about it all the time, and it's disgusting because they're out there doing a job to try to protect us, you know, and I'm tired of hearing the old saying that that police are racist and that. But it's like I told a friend of mine, you can't say that because when you dial 911, they don't ask you what color you are.
That's right.
They automatically send somebody.
That's right. Linda, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks.
What do you think, Jerry?
Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, Donald Trump did tonight reach out and thank the Secret Service and the New York Police Department.
Yes.
And I was very pleased to hear him do that. I thought that was a great way to start. And secondly, you know, I've known Mr. Trump for years, and he has always been an employer of minorities. He's hired more minorities than almost anybody else in the city. He's got a great reputation doing it. And I think he is sincere in his campaign promises to reach out to all minorities, including African Americans, including Latinos, Hispanics, because I think in his heart, Donald Trump is really a loving and accepting person, and he understands this is what he campaigned on, that, you know, the Democrats have done so much with welfare that he wants to get people back to work, and I think he's going to have a program of rebuilding cities and revitalizing our infrastructure that will be quite successful in bringing jobs back to America. I believe that's going to be one of his major initiatives.
Let's go to Perry in Santa Barbara, California. Hello, Perry. Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you so much, George. It's been a little while, but thank you for the show tonight, and thank you so much, Dr. Corsi. I love your books and everything.
Thank you.
I wanted to bring up a point real quick, but I have a few comments, quick comments.
Sure.
The other night I was watching, Sunday night I was watching Donald Trump at one of his campaign stumps, and I had this strong intuition, very strong intuition, that he would be elected president. And I'm never wrong on these things.
Well, you were spot on.
Yeah, it took me a while because sometimes it's a lot earlier, you know, with my intuition, psychic. My great-grandmother was very psychic. I'll have to call you with a ghost story that she was involved in the future. But I also like the fact that he, when he was running earlier, you know, that he would protect the LGBTQ community as well, another minority.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I mean, I think this is a historic night, and I'm in awe, you know. Dad and I, we voted for Trump. Mom voted for Clinton out here in California, but, you know, whatever. But, Dr. Corsi, I wanted to ask you, I've been researching the campaign, you know, for the last so many weeks on the Internet, and it comes to me that Hillary never broke 50%, you know, in the polls.
Right.
And that shows you how flawed they are, don't you think, Dr. Corsi?
Yes, well, I think two things. First of all, I do think I agree with you. I think Trump will be very beneficial for the LGBTQ community. He's going to be accepting of all various groups, and I think that's a positive for all involved. Secondly, in terms of, you know, what Trump is, I'm sorry, your second question is getting late. What was your second question, quickly? That was the one that caught my attention.
Oh, hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Perry.
Yeah, my second question was, with the polls,
Here's the thing with the polls. The polls are, I think, were generally honestly taken. But the problem is that they were sampling for a Democratic turnout like occurred in 2012.
Something dramatic happened today, Jerry, I think.
And the turnout for the Democrats today was not nearly what it was for Barack Obama in either 2008 or 2012. And I think you're going to find the minorities, I think the African-American community, turned out less enthusiastically and more for Trump. And I think you're going to find the Hispanic community turned out very strongly, but a surprising percentage, maybe as much as 20 or 24% for Trump. The African-American community in some parts of the country, I think, may have voted as much as 40% for Trump.
She's only behind, by the way, 580,000 votes now in the popular vote. So that's being clipped down.
My intuition is that she's going to win the popular vote. I thought that looking at it earlier on in the evening. And that I thought Trump was going to win. I've been saying that for quite a while. Trump was going to win the Electoral College vote, because I thought this is very much like 1980, and I think there are strong similarities.
Should we just go to a popular vote system?
No, because what happens in a popular vote system, this is part of the genius, I think, of our founding fathers, is a lot of the country would simply be discounted. In other words, look, tonight, here, New Hampshire, with four electoral votes, was important. Was being watched right to the end.
Alaska with its three was important.
Exactly. I mean, Maine, I think Maine split its electoral votes, which I think they can do in Maine. I think they're satisfied.
Yes, as a matter of fact, Donald got one, she got three.
Right.
In Nebraska, Donald got four, she got one.
Precisely. And in just a popular election, all the attention would go to New York, California. I mean, already a lot goes to New York and California. But look at with New York and California going for Hillary, the rest of the country, which, you know, is registered proportionally in the Electoral College, was determinative, decided the election. Whereas with popular vote, you'd have a hard time, you know, overwhelming or overcoming the numbers in states like California and New York. People would get bypassed. It would be unimportant. They wouldn't even get paid any attention to in a presidential campaign, whereas today all the states get a lot of attention.
Let's go next to Jeff in Ferguson, Missouri. Hi, Jeff. Good to hear from you.
Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Sure thing.
This makes the accident at my polling station I had worth it.
What happened?
The chair I was sitting at fell up. Collapsed from under me, and I fell backwards.
You're okay?
But anyway, the question I had for Dr. Jerome Corsi, which I enjoy his work, by the way, too, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anything globally going on that could conceivably try to have Obama extend his presidency past January?
No, I don't see that. I've never seen that in the cards. I think President Obama wants to retire into the next phase of his life. I don't think he'll be out of politics entirely. I think he has other aspirations, and it'll take a while to know what they are. But he's a young man, he's creative, and I think he's got future plans. But I don't think he wants to continue in the presidency. I've never thought that. I think he felt 8 years was enough, and 8 years is quite a lot. I'm not sure. Very many people would want more than 8 years.
Didn't some of our past presidents during the early days of our country love what they did so much that after their presidency, they hung around as congresspeople or senators?
Well, yes, sir. I mean, I think it was William Howard Taft became a Supreme Court justice. I mean, yes, there are instances, and it just depends. I don't imagine that President Obama will run for elective office again. But I can see him, for instance, having a position in the United Nations or one of the other world
something like that, right? Plus the pension he gets that all the time now, right?
Yes, he's going to have a pension for life, which is put in, I think, appropriately by Congress so that the retired presidents are not in any way needing of economic resources and have the ability to live a life if they want to write, if President Obama wanted to write his memoirs or whatever he wanted.
They get a library out of the deal, right?
He'll have a library funded, I'm sure, just as every one of the presidents. That was the origin of the Clinton Foundation, was to build the library. And I'm sure President Obama will have a library built, and he should have a library built.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. How do you think he did as president outside of Obamacare?
Well, I mean, I've been critical of President Obama on many policy issues, and I have a little book coming out called Goodnight Obama, which will kind of celebrate his retirement. So President Obama and I have disagreed on many policy issues, but I've always had a great respect for him as a person and his family, and I'm pleased that he's come through his presidency in good health and well, and I think he'll be well thought of in the future. It'll be controversial, but I think it was an historic presidency, and I think he did well with it.
We've got Dustin in Utah. Dustin, real fast. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how's it going? I love your show.
Thank you, Dustin.
So I just have a few things. Number one, I thought it was awesome after Trump won. He tried to, like, stop the separation.
It was a good, I didn't want to say acceptance speech, but it was a good elected speech.
Yeah, and then, like, he also reached out to other countries. Good. You know, I was kind of afraid of Hillary getting in because of how harsh she's been on Russia and with NATO stepping in.
Well, I think what happened is there were so many unknown variables about Hillary Clinton that people turned to Trump because they just wanted change. Jerry, I want to thank you personally for everything you've done for this program, beyond just the campaign, but as a continued guest and supporter. I really appreciate it.
Well, George, it's always been a great pleasure and honor to be with you, and thank you. I look forward to working with you anytime you ask.
Dr. Jerry Corsi, website WND.com. Up next, John Hoag and his prophecies.